Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we read and consider today, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34, where we read as follows, in the name of Jesus. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. These are your words, O Lord. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. If a father loves fishing, he teaches his boys how to fish. If a mother loves to crochet, she teaches her daughters how to do it. What you love to do is what you pass on to your children because you love them and you want them to love what you love. What we love the most is what we will seek out. What we love the most is what we will consider to be the most precious and important possession we have. If what we love the most is our God, then we are his true children, and we will teach our children to love God the most. But if what we love the most is our material possessions, we are idolaters. Idolaters teach their children to be idolaters as well. This is why God gives us this warning. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Likewise, it is to warn us against the sin of idolatry that Jesus speaks to us today the words recorded by St. Matthew, words that teach us that it is idolatrous to worry. Idolatry is to love the creation more than the Creator. When we love the things that God gives us more than we love God himself, we are idolaters. The true child of God loves the giver of the gift more than the gift. And this is so whether the gift is a necessity or a luxury. Jesus mentions both food and clothing in our text. Both are necessities, and both can also be luxuries as well. Who knows our need? Who loves us? Who cares for us day and night? Who rules all of creation and controls the weather, the laws of nature, the movements of nations, and everything in the entire universe for the benefit of his children? God does. Our Heavenly Father does. Ironically, the more people learn about how God provides for us, the less they glorify God for his generosity. Instead, they turn to myths about how the world evolved by chance. The beauty of the world God has made illustrates for us the tender care of our loving Father. If He clothes the grass of the field, He will surely clothe us. If He feeds the birds of the air, He will surely feed us. But instead of giving thanks to God, the world shows its contempt for God by figuring out how to explain the wonders of His creation by leaving Him out of the figuring. What insolence! What ingratitude! And then they call this science, and try to shout down or ridicule off of the stage of public discourse anyone impertinent enough to challenge their godless orthodoxy. Don't be conned. Don't think for one moment that the theory of evolution is primarily an issue of science. It never has been. It is the effort of idolaters to defend and excuse their idolatry, and they do it by attacking the very existence of a creator who continues to govern and care for His creation. They refuse to acknowledge any evidence that God has intervened in the affairs of the world. If they were to open their eyes to the evidence of God's creation and care for this world, they would have to acknowledge their duty to worship and praise and serve this divine Creator, and that they will not do. But we know better. We know that God spoke and it was. God created out of nothing all that exists. We know the truth, and so we don't worry about our daily bread because we know the one who provides it. We know that life is more than what we eat or what we wear. True life is lived in service to the God who created us. We know this. Do we know this? Or do we worry? Do we worry about having enough, being cared for, having to do without? Do we make enough money to pay our bills? Will we be able to make ends meet? Will we get the job we've been working for? What about our health? What about our parents' health, our children's health? What about the repairs on the car, and we can't afford them, and we can't afford a new car either? God is not ignorant. We are. But God knows what we need. He never forgets. When we worry about our daily needs, we question God and we deny His word. The typical heathen who buys into evolution and knows little about the true religion can't be excused for his ignorance, because the evidence of God's creative power and God's existence as God is there right before his eyes, and he chooses to close his eyes against that knowledge. Well, then, what is our excuse when we live day to day worrying about things that our God has promised to provide? We have even less of an excuse, because God has taught us the truth of the Holy Scriptures, and He's revealed to us His love in Jesus. And knowing Jesus is the only knowledge that will give us confidence when we doubt that God will care for us day by day. Jesus says, Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He's saying, seek me. Look to me, your Savior. Know that I am the one who makes you fit for heaven. You worry about the things of this life. You place your affection on getting enough of them. You're looking in the wrong place. Look instead to the things that make for eternal life. Seek first the kingdom of God. That is God ruling over us from the cross, because it's on the cross that Jesus becomes our King, taking upon Himself all of our sin and our guilt and our misery and our shame and our death, our fears, our hell. That's the kingdom of God. As that blessed exchange takes place, Jesus gives us His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His innocence, His glory, the joy that comes from being washed clean of all our sin. The kingdom of God is Christ coming to us, forgiving us our sins and filling our hearts with the treasure of God's pure love. The kingdom starts at holy baptism when He adopts us. It is Jesus absolving us of our sins by His holy gospel. It is Jesus giving to us to eat and to drink His body and blood. guaranteeing us that our sins are forgiven in his name. The kingdom of God is the Holy Christian Church. The kingdom is hidden, just as faith is hidden. You can't see it, but you know that the kingdom of God is wherever his pure gospel is taught. You know the kingdom of God is wherever his baptism is administered. You know that the kingdom of God is wherever his supper is celebrated, because God has bound himself to these means of salvation. There God is, there true wealth is, because there it is that faith is born and nourished and strengthened. When Jesus tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he's saying that the spiritual treasures God gives are more important than the material benefits he gives. Well, that much is obvious. But he's also saying that we're not going to believe that God will care for our daily needs until we see how God cares for our eternal needs. When he does that, he creates in us a confidence that he will provide for us every need of life. But first, we need to see God in Christ, and we need to see Christ on the cross for us, and we need to see this crucified Jesus in his gospel and in his sacraments, in the heavenly doctrine of his word. And in that way, we will learn to treasure every single word that God says as more important, as more precious than any created thing. This is how God sets us free from the idolatry in our own sinful hearts. Jesus is not usually thought of as a great logician. He's a prophet, a priest, and a king. And yet in our text here, he uses a classical argument from the greater to the lesser that is utterly persuasive. If the greater is true, the lesser must be true. The greater is that Christ has purchased the kingdom. He has won eternal life for us by his obedience and suffering as our substitute. The lesser is that God will take care that we're properly clothed and fed. God has given us the greater gift, his only begotten Son. Surely God will give us the lesser gift, our daily need to be fed and clothed. You can't argue with that. That is divine logic. And when we value the treasures of his kingdom more than our money, our jobs, our homes, and all of our stuff, God ensures that we are eternally rich. Riches that when we give them away, we still have them. Riches that we can give to our children that nobody can tax, that will never be lost, that nobody can steal. Since God guarantees these riches, we don't worry about losing them. But we commit them to God's gracious care. Worrying is always grounded in doubt. Doubt is unbelief. It is idolatry, and there's only one cure for false faith. That's to replace it with the true faith. And this is why we seek the righteousness of God's kingdom that is ours by faith. This is why we read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Holy Scriptures. This is why we go to the divine service, not just when it's convenient, but whenever we possibly can. We need God's word in our lives. From it, faith springs. And wherever faith is born, worry recedes. Why worry? There's no point. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need, and he loves us. And we thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by members of First Confessional Lutheran Parish, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, First Devanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. We have divine service every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock at First Devanger in Fertile, 9:30 at Grace in Crookston, and 11:30 at First American in Mayville. Please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.